Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Being part of this series, Spirit-Led Life. We're into week six of this series. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the inward work of Holy Spirit. Part four was all about walking with the Spirit, and we were in Galatians 5. I actually heard somebody say to me this morning that they've been working through Galatians since then, and it's amazing, but there's a lot in it. Very true. Paul encouraged us in Galatians 5 to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. All of these, if you've missed this, are on podcasts. You can go and listen to them. Then last week, part five, we continued looking at growing with the Spirit. Well, walking with the Spirit was week four. Growing with the Spirit was week five, part five. And we looked at the fruit of the Spirit with the nine expressions, bringing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know what the fruits are. Fruit, which is ultimately the character of Jesus. And the fruit that has been formed in us is increasingly being formed by Holy Spirit. We ended by reflecting on the question, what is growing within me? And I know for a fact that even this week, I've been very much aware of different fruit that has been highlighted in my life. And I've heard even conversations this morning while we were having coffee of different people going, oh yeah, this week, my challenge was self-control. Going, welcome to the pack. This is good. It's good to hear that we are doers of the word, correct? We're not meant to just be hearers of the word. We're meant to be doers of the word. And I think, you know, the biggest blessing for me is when I hear that what we are teaching and what we're bringing, we are applying to our lives. So we come to this question this week. And I want to ask the question and take this step one step further. If fruit is growing in my life, if my character is changing, then what am I becoming? Now, it's very easy to answer because you know the answer, but we've got to get the answer from here into here. We have to be believing what we are reading and what we are learning. So my heart today is that we solidify the answer. We unpack scripture that from this moment forward, there is no doubt on what we are becoming. Because the inward work of the Holy Spirit is happening. If you like it or not, it is happening. If you're a child of God, the inward work of Holy Spirit is happening in our lives. And you'll get more of this revelation as we unpack. But here is my heart, here's my point, is when we get that revelation from here to here, the revelation that Almighty God Himself is actively at work within us, we do begin to live differently. You cannot but not live differently. You see, Holy Spirit is at work in me. It's no longer just words on a page or a concept that the pastor gives through or a teacher gives through or you hear on a podcast. It becomes a reality. And because it becomes a reality from here to here, I start living in an awareness of it. He is here. He is present. He is working. And He is transforming me. Yes? So I think it appropriate today that I title this message part six, Becoming with the Spirit. Becoming. So we've been walking, growing, and now we are becoming with the Spirit. You ready? You've gone all quiet on me. Don't go quiet on me, please. You get me, make me worry. But let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that we've learned to walk, that we know that we're growing. Help us to understand how we are becoming more and more Christ-like. Give us this revelation. Take it from the head to the heart. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody who wants this says, amen. Amen. Great. So the scripture we're going to unpack today is 2 Corinthians 3. And we're going to look at two verses, 16, 17, and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 16, 17, and 18. I believe that Paul is going to show us something incredibly powerful today. And for you, we have to be aware, we have to lean in. So I want to encourage you to lean in, not hear with your ears, but hear with your spirit. It reads as follows. Whenever anyone, you've got a physical Bible, underline that. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's a mouthful, but we're going to unpack it. The biblical context in 2 Corinthians 3 goes all the way back to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, Moses has been up Mount Sinai. He's been in the presence of God. And when he comes down, his face is radiating. His countenance is radiating the glory of God. The Israelites can physically see that Moses has been in God's presence. Can you imagine if you go to work on a Monday and your work people could see that you'd physically been in the presence of God on Sunday? Imagine that was on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday because you've been in his presence every day. I mean, wow. But these guys, the Israelites physically see, and they're actually afraid. They're afraid to come near him. So Moses speaks to the people. He gives them what God has commanded him to give them. And then he places this veil over his face. So when Moses goes back up into the presence of God, the veil comes off because he's in front of God. And then when he comes down again, his countenance, he's radiating the glory of God. And so the veil comes back on. So why is Paul talking about this veil in 2 Corinthians? It's a good question. You see, the veil is a picture of something that prevents people from seeing clearly. Paul takes the physical veil in Exodus 34 and uses it to reveal a spiritual reality to you and me and to every reader. In verse 16, which we haven't got on the board, it says, only in Christ is it taken away. The veil is only taken away in Christ. And then in verse 16, which is on the board, when anyone turns towards the Lord, the veil is taken away. Jesus is the common denominator. Turn in the Greek actually meaning to turn or to return or to turn back towards. It's important to know this. So in Christ, verse 14, and by Christ, verse 16, when a person turns, the veil is removed. Why is it removed? Because the veil obscures vision. It prevents clear sight. Paul is saying the veil is now removed, so now you can see. Wow. Now you can see. But this is very interesting when we look at verse 17, because before he tells us what we can see, he puts this verse 17 in there that says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As Pentecostals, we think that scripture means that we're together and there's freedom in the house and things are just going to go berserk and El gusto and busto and all these kind of things. Other people interpret, well, I can do anything that I want to because there's freedom. But this is not actually what Paul is talking about. Remember the context. The context is, what has he just touched on? He has just said, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then he talks about freedom. So the freedom Paul is describing is connected to the veil being removed. This freedom is twofold. The first is freedom from what has kept us from seeing. Freedom from what has kept me bound, what has kept me blinded, what has kept me separated. And secondly, freedom to contemplate Jesus. Freedom to behold him. is another scripture that says, all right? So the veil is gone. Freedom is here. We can see. And then it leads into verse 18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. What can I now see? The Lord's glory. Amazing grace. Once I was blind, but now I see. Wow. Other translations talk about beholding the glory of the Lord. Contemplate beholding. Beholding the Lord's glory. Contemplating the Lord's glory. Both those words, contemplate and behold, are key. The Greek word, which is a very long word, it's up there, yep, carries this idea of looking at or beholding as in a mirror. It's turning our attention towards the Lord. It's looking intently. You know when you go and stand in front of a mirror first thing in the morning, you go, I've got another line. Or certain ladies will go, oh, there's another gray hair. That's intently. Because if you just glance at it, you wouldn't have seen it. It's important. Intently considering, contemplating, coming closer. This doesn't mean a casual glance. And here's something that I want us to understand today is what we continually give our attention to will shape who we become. I've said this before from this platform, what you behold, you become. In the natural, when we spend time around somebody, you start picking things up. You start picking up their mannerisms. You start picking up their sayings. You start picking up their habits. You know, when we visit South Africa and I come back from South Africa, I seem to not be talking about parking my car. I talk about park my car. I'm going to park my car in the garage. Because I've been around some of my fellow South Africans. Why does this happen? Because who we spend time with rubs off on us. I mean, parents, we all know, we pray that our kids have good friends. Why? Because who they hang around with rubs off on them. Is this helping? You're tracking with me. So Paul says this. He says, look at Jesus. You are free to do so because as soon as you turn to him, the veil is gone. But don't just glance, contemplate him. Behold him. Look intently. Actually, fix your attention on, because as you do this, something happens that you cannot do for yourselves. And that is, Holy Spirit transforms you into his image. Now, girl, AI has a pretty picture of Jesus there. We're not looking at his looks. Right, we're not looking at his looks. Because what do we see when we see Jesus? A handsome man. No, that's not what I'm asking. What do we see when we see Jesus? We see love. And we see compassion, and we see holiness, and we see courage, and we see humility, and we see purity, and we see obedience, and we see grace, and so I can go on. And then when we contemplate him, we got to think, I am becoming all of that. I'm becoming who he is. As I contemplate, as I gaze into who he is. He is kind. He is loving. I'm becoming that. It's not a quick fix, but I'm becoming that. Folks, we become more like Christ by beholding Jesus, not by obsessing over everything wrong with us, the gray hair or the wrinkle or the... No. By beholding him. Remember, Holy Spirit is at work to bring the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 expressions. He's working in us. Transformation doesn't come from staring hard at what's wrong with me. It comes as I turn to the Lord and I behold. That's how transformation happens. Let's be real. Is it right if we're real? We're always real. Even if you said no, I would still be real. You see, we live in a world that's constantly fighting for our attention. Our phones, social media, YouTube scrolling, advertising, news, entertainment wants. Everybody wants your attention. However, we need to be reminded that we cannot continually feed the flesh and then wonder why we are struggling to reflect Jesus. We cannot. I'm not preaching phones are evil. I'm not preaching that at all, please. That's not my point. But I am preaching what you behold, you become. What you behold, you become. What gets my first attention at the beginning of my day? What has my attention just before I sleep? What voices have become loudest in my life? What am I continually putting before my eyes? It's important because what we keep looking at will begin to shape us. And this isn't JJ saying this. This is scriptural. Let me show you. Verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image. As you contemplate, you are being transformed into that which you contemplate. And in this case, it's his image. What are we contemplating on? It's the question. Because there's a principle here we cannot miss, because what we continually give our attention to will ultimately shape who we become. He uses the word transformed. The Greek word Paul uses, it comes from the word metamorphosis, all right? It means to change form. To change form. Great thing that I remember from my school days is to explain metamorphosis is the butterfly. It was a caterpillar to a cocoon to a butterfly. From something that crept around to something that beautiful that flies. A colorless thing to a colorful thing. Great analogy of metamorphosis. Means to change. It means that we cannot be the same anymore. You cannot be. He is working even if you like it or not. He is working even if you don't think he is working. I need to point out that metamorphosis isn't cosmetic improvement. Being transformed isn't God putting some Christian makeup over your old life. There is a supernatural inner transformation that is beyond any comprehension of the human mind that is taking place, that is enabling you to live the brand new life that Jesus has given you. And it's ongoing. Because the scripture there says, being transformed. It's an ongoing, it's not a quick fix. It's not a kaboom and a kabam and all of a sudden I'm somebody new. No, 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 no. There is an ongoing, as the veil is removed in a moment, guess what? The transformation happens over a lifetime. When you turn, the veil's gone, but the transformation continues. And this is where we need to have that one fruit called patience. But here's the climax of this whole thing, all right? What are we transformed into? Paul tells us, being transformed into his image. Jesus is the destination. Jesus is the destination, folks. Romans 8:29, the message says this. I love this. God knew what he was doing from the beginning. Stop right there. That's a word somebody needs to hear. God knew what he was doing, and he still knows what he's doing. Let's read further. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him. Listen to this. Along the same lines as the life of his son. Then it says, the son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. And here it is. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. If you don't take anything home, take a photo of that. Put that up on your fridge. As that is a reminder for us all. That is a reminder for us all. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. So, newsflash. Spiritual maturity isn't becoming more and more like your pastor. Thank God I heard that. I agree. Can you imagine another one of me? Be kind. Spiritual maturity isn't becoming like a celebrity on Instagram. And here's something else. Spiritual maturity isn't even becoming the person you think you should be. Jesus is the only image. When I turn and I behold, that's my destination. Not what I think I should be. Or who I think I should be. I should be JJ, who is more Christ-like because I'm beholding him. So when I take 2 Corinthians 3 and I take this Romans 8:29, I'm reminded that the more we behold Jesus, the more we see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him, the more we are transformed. With, and we finish off that scripture, that verse, ever increasing glory. Let me read that again. Oh, it's up here. The more we behold Jesus, the more we see the original and intended shape of our lives in him. And the more we are transformed with ever increasing glory. Poof. Other translations use the word from glory to glory. What is he saying? Ever increasing glory. Are we from perfect to better perfect? No. He's not talking about from perfect to more perfect. He's talking about progressive transformation. Progressive transformation. Last week we said, a step, a small step is still a step. Progressive transformation from glory to glory, not from perfect to more perfect. Because if we have that mindset, then we already disqualify ourselves and we don't even try. Because you think, well, I'm not perfect. How can I be more perfect? Or I'm not even at the stage of glory. How can I go from glory to glory? Because I don't, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, where you are, Holy Spirit is working in you. Holy Spirit is transforming you. And you are going one step at a time from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And what do I mean by that? You're becoming more and more and more and more Christ-like. I behold, I become. I behold, I become. It means movement. Glory to glory. It means progression. It means there is a becoming. Baby step is still a step. It means a becoming. There is a becoming happening. I'm becoming more and more Christ-like. So let's get back to the question we started with today. If the fruit is growing, if my character is changing, what am I becoming? Paul gives us the answer. You are becoming more and more Christ-like. Let's get that from here to here. Oh, I can't, because I don't know if I can get to that expectation. And so we go into this culture that is very rife within our society, and it's called the cancel culture. And so we cancel ourselves. You can't cancel yourself. You can't cancel yourself. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Holy Spirit is with you. No matter what you did before, no matter what you're doing now, Holy Spirit is with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And with him being with you, he is transforming you. You can try and cancel yourself. God is still busy. So let's get rid of that mindset, because Holy Spirit is at work as you turn to the Lord. That's the key. Turning is the key. Turning, you behold. As you turn to the Lord, you behold. As you behold and contemplate, as you keep in step with Holy Spirit, you are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Holy Spirit is at work in you. Now, you may not be where you want to be yet, but know this, he is working. He is working. Know this, he is transforming you. And know this, you are becoming more like Jesus. I mean, is that not exciting? As a son of God and a daughter of God, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. Even though I don't even realize I am. Why do you think when you're at work, people go, oh, if I just could have what you had. You go, well, what do I have? You've got no idea. I've got all these problems at home. And that's not what they see. They are seeing the transformation that is happening in your life. And they go, and there's something about this that I, you know why they are pulled towards that? Because they are also made by God. They are also created to be in fellowship. They just not have found the vine yet. To be plugged into the vine. They're still seeking. But you being transformed is something that is, they look at and they go, huh. He was a caterpillar. But he seems to be a little bit of a butterfly now. There's something different about him. He's flying higher. He's got a little bit more color, a little bit more joy around the gills. He's not so grumpy anymore. He walks in and the joy of the Lord is there with him. They see the difference. How did that happen? Because you'd be a better person? No, because transformation. You've beheld him. And through that, you are changing. You are changing. You are becoming more and more like Jesus. I want to finish today with an invitation that Paul gives us in verse 16. Incredibly, it's simple. Turn to the Lord. Simple. Turn to the Lord. At any time. Yes, that initial turn you behold. But you know what? You might be in a place, in a situation where you feel you're far away. And what we do is we go into condemnation because the enemy is condemning us. Whereas actually the Spirit is convicting us. And all the Spirit is saying to us is turn. Turn to him. Behold him. See him. I love this scripture. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. Think about it. Get a picture. I'm having a real tough day. I'm having a real tough month. Been to the doctors and the family finances, and so I have an option. I can focus on this, which is just going to draw me down further and further and further. Or I can turn and be face to face. Whoa. Face to face with God Almighty Himself. Face to face. Because as you turn, the veil is removed. It's like an automatic turn. Veil's gone. And then with unveiled faces, you can behold the beauty that He holds and hear the Spirit's whisper, this is who you are becoming. This is who you are becoming. Jesus died for your sin. He rose again. Not to fix you, but to give you a brand new life. And those of you who have, up until now, given your lives to the Lord, guess what? You are walking in that brand new life. And my encouragement to you is, let's keep beholding Him. Let's keep beholding Him. Let's keep standing in front of the mirror, looking at Him. This is the privilege and the honor that you and I have as sons and daughters, to see with unveiled faces, to see, behold, contemplate. And that's why, sound like a stuck record, but that's why being in the Word is important. That's why prayer is important. That's why worship is important. Because it's as we are in the Word that we get revelations like this of who He is, of the goodness. It's in the time of prayer that He can speak to us and speak into our spirits, and Holy Spirit can guide and lead us. It's in the times of worship as we adore Him, as we spend time just really lifting our hands and lifting our voice. It's in those times that even then, transformation happens. I love our house. I love this family. I love the fact that we are worshipers. But there's another level of just being a spectator or worshiping in spirit and in truth, which maybe we need to teach on one day. What does that really mean? That means as I worship Him, it's not just words. It's spirit to spirit. I'm worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. The words that I'm singing, that's how come we choose the songs wisely. Our team choose the songs wisely. That it's God focused. It's Jesus focused. Because it's the truth. You are holy. You are worthy. We glorify Your name. You are the Creator. I mean, even me just saying that, I just go, something happens here. Word, prayer, worship. As we do that, we behold. As we behold, we're being transformed.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.